the most chilling thing I hit in the book was referring to child soldiers as a weapon system.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like a shovel between my eyes. But that's the way the leaders think of them.
This has also been a source of enormous frictions or debate with the classic rights-based NGO community, which has always emphasized that these are children and they're not weapon systems. And they're children who have been abused and put into difficult situations and armed and so on, and that we should never lose sight of the fact that they're children. And so they concentrate a lot on demobilizing and rehabilitating and reintegrating. What my analysis is that they are absolutely a child, but they are a child that's been armed and has been trained and has been indoctrinated and drugged up to use those weapons. And so the question is, what do you do when you face them? What is the way of stopping their use of child soldiers? Not just picking up the pieces afterwards, but actually from preventing people to ultimately recruit them. How do you make them ineffective, neutralize them, just like another weapon system? How do you make them a liability to the adults who want to use them? You can have a truck, but if you got no fuel, it's a liability. And so our study and our research is trying to look at that crux and find ways by which we can be able to make them an ineffective platform to be used by adults for conflict.
From their point of view, I hate to make you do this, but outline the advantages of using children as soldiers, because I was pretty convinced by the end of it. If I were a completely amoral person, I'd be going, that makes sense.
But you just answered it. If I'm an amoral person, if I don't want to play by any of the international criteria, the humanitarian law of armed conflict, it's a civil war, and so I've got no qualms of using people. And here I am in a country where over 50% of the population are youth below the age of 15. There's all kinds of weapons that they can carry, and there's, the machine guns and the like. And they're inexpensive. There's all kinds of them. They're disenfranchised. They're easy to steal and abduct. They don't talk back. And they are sort of like nearly automatic machines. They're just cannon fodder. Well, geez. Not only do you have all those great advantages, and the proliferation thereof is sort of endless. But on top of that, in these male-dominated societies, the girls are often used to set up the bivouacs and get the food and prepare all that. And they're also the sex slaves and bushwives to the leaders. So there is no more complete end-to-end low-technology weapon system out there.
I think when you first said that to some NGOs, they must have had a so this is a weapon system. They must have just about had a fit.
Well, as I write in the book, I've been spending years going at each other in terminology and understanding and trying to, find middle road and fiddling with this, only to realize that in the end, I'm not moving forward. I'm simply trying to divert positions that have been established that I consider are not permitting me to introduce new methodologies of ultimately eradicating the use of child soldiers, and not simply trying to pick up the pieces of children who've been recruited and try to rehabilitate them.
A couple of chapters in the book, different from anything I've ever seen you do before. You've written two fiction pieces, one child soldier point of view,
mm-hmm.
and the other a NATO Blue Beret peacekeeper facing a child soldier. Why go with fiction?
Well, it's rather interesting. It's fiction in as much as it is a compendium of reality. Instead of taking Joe Schmucks and Abdallah, and using their two personal examples, what I've done is I've brought in a series of elements of a peacekeeper and how from a developed society person evolves into a professional peacekeeper. And I use a lot of myself an example in that. And then I use a child from Central Africa and have that child evolve. And then all of a sudden, they moves into the child soldier scenario and goes through a series of events as a child soldier. As the peacekeeper, all of a sudden gets deployed and is involved in an engagement. So although it's fiction, in the context that it doesn't have a specific name and it may not have all happened exactly that way, you know, in one event, it is a compendium on both sides of reality.
Right now, as we're sitting here, how many children are soldiers in the world against
their will? About 250,000.
Quarter of a million?
Yeah, quarter of a million, and that's why I've decided to build an advocacy group of youth of senior high schools and undergrads called Zero Force. And Zero Force, my aim is to eradicate child soldiers, so that means an overwhelming force. That means a force of 10 to 1. So I'm going to try to mobilize 2.5 million kids around the world to go and influence public opinion and to become activists in order to help save their peers. These are their peers, same ages, in countries in conflict.
The book is They Fight Like Soldiers, They Die Like Children. I've been speaking with the author, former General Romeo Dallaire and Senator of Canada. And Romeo Dallaire's They Fight Like Soldiers, They Die Like Children, published by Random House of Canada.